The message you're about to listen to has been altered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Shall we stand for the reading of the word? We're reading Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 from verse 1 and then verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 until we stop at verse 10. Shall we read in concert, New American Standard Version? After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was going to, he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When they enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there. Tell them the kingdom of God is near you." I'm just wondering how many people were able to read that scripture, because we need to understand who he was talking to. If he was talking to himself or he was talking to us, it's absolutely important that we understand who has the direction. Okay, so what we're going to do again is we need to take the instruction and then we can start looking at it. So let's read it again. Luke chapter 1. Oh, thank you so much. You guys are wonderful. 1, 2, go. Shall we read in concert? Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and set them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into the harvest. Go therefore, I send you out as lambs in the midst of the wolves. Carry no money, belt." Next. "Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house." Okay? "Whatever city you enter, before you." Okay? "Heal those in it who are sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God.'" And so, Lord, we thank you for the integrity of the word and the faithfulness of the word. Lord, as we begin to break the bread of the word, we ask you that the milk inside the bread that causes, the milk inside the word that is like an antibiotic to malice, to envy, to sickness and disease, be released. Lord, we might not be talking about miracle signs and wonders. We just ask you to behave like who you are. Thank you for the people who are gathered here this morning to be blessed by your word. We ask you to bless them, bless them, bless them in Jesus' precious name. And the people will be seated. You will need to keep the scripture up on the passage. Praise the Lord. It's so good to have all of you in service today. If you're joining us by way of World Wide Web, you are so highly welcome. This is where desert places are cured. This is where leaders for global transformation are raised. So we're so happy to have you. And if you're listening to this message, after this time out, the same anointing is present. Greetings from my pastor, Benson Ahigbe II. All right? I want you to look at this scripture, verse 1. Two things are there. He appointed 70 people, but there is an underlining principle, the principle of teamwork. If we're going to pray, two things are involved. There is personal prayer. Personal prayer is where you pray by yourself. There is corporate prayer. The thing about corporate prayer is that iron sharpeneth iron. And the thing about corporate prayer is that he that walketh with the wise will be wise. A company of fools will be destroyed. Yes, I can pray by myself. Yes, I can stand by the side of my room to pray. But there is something that happens when all of us, people of like faith, put our hands together and begin to pray. There is something wonderful about community. It takes a whole village to raise a child. Before now, a whole community will gather together and sponsor one lawyer. And then the lawyer will come back to protect the community. That's how we were raised. In fact, one of my daughters, the village where she came from, all of them, another village was oppressing them because many of the people in that village were educated. So all of them decided to put their hands together and train one person to be a lawyer. And then the person will come back home and defend all of them. Your guess is as good as mine. The person was trained. Instead of the person to come back home to protect the community, the person went there and fell in love. And fell in love with a Caucasian woman. And that was the end of that thing. However, technically, I have noticed that community life works. Jesus sent out 70 people, but he sent them in pairs. So, did he really send out 70 people? 70 divided by 2. How many? So, Jesus sent out 35 people, and the instruction he gave them was clear. Number one, he was sending them to where he will go to. Number one, I want you to notice, he was sending them to where he was going. I'm giving you a background, and then we're going to kick up from there. Number two, he gave the instruction was clear. He said the harvest is great, but the laborers. The original word for the word laborers is not the word laborers. It's the original word. The original word is teachers. So if you put it in context, it says the harvest is great, but the teachers are few. If you go back to the message I preached last week, when he says, go and make disciples of all nations. That's Matthew chapter 28. Technically, Matthew 28, the last verse, verse 20. If you put all that together, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. You go back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And I was talking last week and I said to you that every of us are teachers. And we are teachers that have been sent to go and baptize nations. That was what I said last week. Do you remember? And I said to you that some of you are teachers sent to the entertainment industry. Some of you are teachers sent to government, sent to politics and all of the gates of the society. And our job is to make students out of the community. And I said to you last week that we are tired of you baptizing individuals. That the idea is not to baptize individuals. The idea is to baptize nations. Do you remember when I preached all of that? And I said that nations is the word ethnos. Ethnos means people of a certain race, the same culture. And then I went down to talk about profession and all of that. If you bring all of that to what the instruction of this week, it says, go and make disciples. He says, the harvest is great, but there is a problem. So the nations are waiting for us to come and bail them out, but there is a problem. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 18, among all the children she bore, there is not one who is able to lead her hand and lead her into destiny. That's the same thing Jesus is saying. The problem is not those who will be liberated from whatever it is that they are going through. The problem is not that the families are under chaos. The problem is not that divorce is almost on the increase. That's not the problem. The problem is not that the single ladies and the single men who are getting into marriage don't understand what marriage is all about. They think it's about the white dress and the black suit and the color of your black bridesmaids and the color of your wedding or the wedding party. That's what many of us think is. That's not the problem. The problem is not that the fathers who are giving birth to children, many of them had arrested development issue before they. In fact, many of us who are fathers have no business being fathers because they are still children. Jesus said that's not the problem.
The problem is not that some politicians are corrupt. That's not the problem. The problem is not that industrialization. That's not the problem. The problem is not corruption in sports. There's a bigger problem. The laborers are few. The teachers who ought to liberate these people are clueless. Those of them who go to church, who are meant to bring people into their destiny, do not even understand what the destiny is about begin to start from. Our challenge as a nation, as the people of God, is that when it has to do with what we ought to do for the people, we don't know what to do. Not only do we not know what to do, we don't know where to start. But Jesus reserved it. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out teachers. The word laborers is the word teachers. And when the teachers come, what are they supposed to do? I will show you in a minute. I just want to be sure I did justice to that. And then we will show you what. And then he gave them instructions. The instruction is, go your ways. Verse 3. I want you to see the next principle is, go your ways. That's verse 3. In the go your ways, he says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. I want us to get something straight. Many of us are looking for peace. The Bible says, in the world, you're not going to have peace. Many of us think that there is a place you get to in life, all your problems are solved. There is nothing like that. There is no time you get to when you're not going to have war. There's no time you get to where you're not going to have someone planning against you or some people who are doing some kind of intrigue to try to take you out. There's no point where you're not going to have that. I wonder, the Bible says in the world you're going to have troubles. So how is it that when you see troubles, you are practically shocked? Where did this come from? You're supposed to be preparing for it ahead of time. I love talking about families because life begins from families. Listen to me, if you're going to be someone's husband one day, it means that you should begin to prepare from when you were a child. Because when you get into marriage, there's going to be a problem. If you're going to be someone's wife, begin to prepare yourself ahead of time, because when you get into the future, there will be a problem. There will be a problem when you get into politics. Someone will try to put your name, and then you pay some money, and then someone will swindle you out of your money. I don't know where I'm talking to anybody. I came to tell you the truth. To give you false hope or to tell you that there's not going to be any problem is the lie of the century. Your wife will get on your nerves. Your husband will get on your nerves. In fact, I was sharing in the training school. I said I went to this room to tell my husband something. He said something to me that sounded very nasty. I had gone. Then someone was telling me, now you they talk to like that. My mother was telling me, now you they talk to like that. I didn't realize that someone actually said something to me that didn't make sense. I have completely gone. And I said, you mean they said that thing to you and you kept quiet? I had two choices. To go back and say to him, Pastor Ben, make I tell you, this no be Fame Foundation. Now for Fame Foundation, you go fit talk like that. You no go fit talk to me like that. What thing they do yourself now because you be Pastor Ben? I had that option. Listen, I'm a woman like any other woman. I can get angry. I can get pissed. Some things can walk me up. I had that option. I had the option to keep malice with him. I have the option to make sure that the next time when he looks for food, the food will not be ready. Am I talking to you? Do you understand this? I have the option to use the power. There is another thing I can also use. I can also use sex. When the time comes, I'm having headache. I have all those full-blown options. But I made a choice. And that choice is that I'm going to be the best expression of God when it has to be with this family. It's not because of him. It's because of me. Everywhere you turn around, sometime you're going to look around and discover that things will not work like you planned it to work. You must have tabulated 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, only for you to do 1 plus 1 is to end in 10. And they say, how did I get 10? Something messed it up. He said, I send you out as lambs. Don't forget you're a lamb when you see wolves. Don't turn into a wolf because you're in the middle of lambs. Listen, I've not started preaching. It's just a bargain. Remember, I don't know what to say. come when you get into the middle of an obstacle, you turn into that thing? How come many of us do pig fight? Let me tell you something about pigs. Imagine if pigs are in a gutter and you're passing, the pig jump up and splash something on you and splash mud on you. And then you look at your white trousers and you have mud. What do? Do you pull your trousers and jump into the muddy water to fight with pigs? Talk to me. Nobody does that. What do? You retain your identity as Melvina. You don't turn to pig because pig is pouring water on you. Have you ever seen that you're going on the road and then you drove somewhere, someone just opened it and just spit on you? What do? Roll and spit back? No, you are not a snake. A snake that speaks like that. I want you to get to understand that in this world, you are a lamb. And you have been put in the middle of wolves. Don't ever forget your identity when things come against you. Oh, don't forget who you are. I don't think in this world that Prince Charles will go about. You can't even have opportunity to slap him. But if you ever have opportunity to slap him, he has been trained from inside to know his royalty. Royalty does not fight. Royalty does not beg. Royalty does not talk anyhow. Our biggest challenge is that we know everything except who we are. And ladies and gentlemen, the critical foundation for your behavior and your beliefs is your identity. If you don't know who you are, you have lost 95% of your existence on earth. No matter how hungry a lion is, it won't eat grass. I still don't know what to say. He said, carry neither purse. Carry no money belt. Why? Don't worry about your source, because I'm your source. There has to be an intentional resetting of my mind to stop seeing Pastor John Divine as my source. Pastor John may give me money. That doesn't make him my source. God may lay it on him to give him money. Pastor John may give me a position that will bring me into an opportunity for me to become a resource on earth. That doesn't make Pastor John my resource. He is just one of the methods that God will use to bless me. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 250 billion ways that God can use to meet you at the point of your need. Our challenge is that we have brain problem. Our brain shuts down to the minimum that it is your salary that God is going to use to provide for you. Or your brothers and sisters overseas, or the contract with the government. May I say to you, he said, carry no belt, no bag, no shoes. Greet no one. If I start talking about this, I will talk about things that has to do with using relationship for manipulation. Relationship is not for manipulation. Relationship is one of the ways you develop a healthy soul. This is not my let's go further. What exactly did Jesus want you to do? Let's boil it down there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Everybody's walk. Everybody under the sound of my voice, this is what you are meant to do, and then we'll leave it from here. Thank you. Shall we read in concert? One. Two, four, yes. Okay, since it's your job description, I'm going everybody to stand up. Let's read our job description. One, two, go. Thank you. Just be seated. All right? Just in a few minutes and I'll be out of your way. Something is obvious. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send teachers. And I said to you that everybody here, you're a teacher. Every kingdom person is a teacher. The question is this: what am I supposed to teach them? When I see them, what services am I supposed to render? If you're a teacher, some teachers teach science, some teach arts, but they are teaching something. Everybody here, it may interest you that whether you know the Bible or not is inconsequential. By your destiny, you're a teacher. The day you gave your life to Christ, you joined Jesus College of Education, the University of Jesus students. And that place, you are given a curriculum. And that is the only school you receive your curriculum. It was put inside you. It's called the Bible. What am I now supposed to teach them? What am I supposed to do with them? So we're going to look at it, Isaiah chapter 61. Now the first thing he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Everybody understand what it means for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon someone. So we're going to take all the other root words. Because the Lord has anointed me. The word anointed came from the root word. It said to smear, like with a paint or like body oil. And then it also has the word to rub. So if you put it together, what he says is that the Lord has used his Spirit to rub you. And listen, if I take body cream and rub you, Pastor John, what will come on you? What will come on you? If I take body cream, anybody with body cream now, so we test it. I did some part of, if I take coconut oil or dark oil, who then? As Pastor John is now, I rub him who then from head to toe. When he comes here, he won't tell you. You will know. Because the ude smell will come on him. And those of you who know physics, the chemicals inside that thing will stick on him. And it has also been proven that if you put body cream on your body, it enters from your skin, it enters into your bloodstream. So if the Bible says to anoint, it means that God will take his ability and rub on you. And his ability will now become your ability. In other words, you will take up the character of the person who robbed you. Put it this way. If you have a house, very dirty house, you paint it, the house is green. You decide that you don't want it as green again. You take the house and paint everywhere white. If anybody comes there, the house will look what? Talk to me. The house will look what? What happened? The house have taken the character of the paint. Thank you so much. I want everybody to join me to preach. The house have taken the character of the what? The house have taken the character of the what? So if you look, what you will see is not green. What you will see is what? Is white. In fact, if you take some part, if you go to that house, take some part of that, scrape the wall a little bit, put it under a chemical process, you will discover that the house have taken some of the chemical properties or elements of the paint. So if the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Pastor John, come. Because the Lord, give me oil. Because the Lord has anointed you. Everybody use your imagination. This is the Lord represented by oil. This is Pastor John. The Lord has anointed. I want you to look at this place. There's no oil. I want you to look at this place. There's oil. What has happened? The content of this thing have transferred to this place. Therefore, this hair can do what this oil can do. Reason, I can take this oil from him and anoint Pastor Charlie. I can take this oil and anoint the cameraman. It's still the same oil. Everybody that is a child of God, the capacity and the ability of the Most High God and the nature and the behavior of the Most High God is upon all of you. Thank you. Can you give me a message? Can you keep it? He says, so why did he put it on you? Is it for dance? You know, there's something we do in our churches. We just come to the fellowship centers. We just dance. And everybody dance. We just go. So we feel good dancing. We just think that this is a dancing club. Everybody just dance. And then the choir, everybody bend low, bend low. It's much more than dance. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a life development center. We are students who are resource materials for global transformation are being raised. It may interest you that when the oil comes on you, it is coming on you for a particular reason. And I want to show you the reasons. The first one is to bring good news to the afflicted. What does it mean? Let's go to the root word. What does good news mean? Can you bring this in New King James Version as a? What does good news mean? It means to proclaim. To proclaim means to call forth. To call forth means to call by name. To preach good tidings to the poor. The word preach is the same word proclaim. It's the same word to call forth. Ladies and gentlemen, Nigeria is waiting for sons who will call Nigeria out of poverty and out of shame and out of corruption and out of sickness. And those people are in this church today. They are sitting down here listening to me today. You have a job to do, not just for yourself, but for your nation. And the next one is said, to the poor. I want to check the word poor, or in the original, the root word is the root word meek. And meek is talking about those of you who are poor by circumstance, or and the figure, the figurative statement for the word is those of them who are depressed. I've shown you that you have been equipped. Two, I've also shown you have power to call. And I now want to show you the categories of people you have been called to help. The first set of people are people who are depressed. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody depressed around us? If there is anybody depressed around us, do we know? If we don't know, as a nation of Africans, when did we stop knowing? When did we stop being our brother's keepers? Africans, when did we stop caring about our neighbor? When was the last time I came to church? How come you were not aware? Because somehow we have adopted the Western attitude into Africa. You know something about America? Everything about America we copy. We copy the way we talk. We copy the way they dress. If you are not careful, it becomes the way we live our lives. America is almost becoming a part of Africa. Africa, there is something great about us. We are such people that someone around us can commit suicide because all of us will know. There are some nations, someone can die inside a house and decay for 2 months, nobody will know. It can't happen here because we will know, because of the way we live together. It is in Africa that I can wake up, I won't call Belvina, I will go to her house, she will give me food to eat. You can wake up, you won't call me, that is how we live. But today, something is changing that. And I want you to know that this one that is changing it, we need to revert back to who we are. We have an identity. If you have ever read Things Fall Apart, you will understand Africa. Africa is a great nation. Our people know they commit suicide before. Our people know they jump inside river before. You know why? All of us are now concentrating on ourselves. Before now, if someone has a marriage problem in Africa, all of us go gather around that person until that marriage problem is settled. Today, if it happens, if that some of us go laugh at or say, nah, he deserve him, share the post for me, forget about that. That's not who we are. We are such people that we gather together to train our children in school. We even gather together and find the people who are intelligent and put them on scholarship. Haven't you heard of Udoji Award? How did Udoji Award come? What has happened to that Africa? It was J.P. Clark that shouted and read the poem, Africa, my Africa. Those of us who are Africans, I want us to rise to true evangelism where nobody is depressed around us and we don't know. Even when we come to church like this, when we look around, we look at someone's face, we know this person used to smile. How come he's not smiling? We know. That's how we were trained. That's how our parents trained us. We are trained to take care of our younger ones. We have actually come to a place in Africa now where nobody cares. Property has become a problem for us. Your papa built 7 houses. You are the first son. And by the tradition, the reason why they're giving you the 7 houses is for you to use it to look after everybody, including your stepbrothers and sisters. Look at the way property is causing problem for us now. Look at the way we are now using juju to kill ourselves because of property. The first son will collect the thing with everybody's thing. I want us to come to our original mandate. Look at your neighbor. Are you depressed? Ask your neighbor. Ask him. Tell him, don't jump into anywhere. Don't jump into anywhere. I'm here. Someone told Papa that she was moving by river and felt like easing himself. and came out and stood by the side of the river to ease himself. Sees car stop. Brother, please don't do it. Please don't do it. We need to come to a place. Those of us, you know some of the reasons why these things have stopped. Because someone will be pretending that the car spot on the road. You stop to help the person. Nah, I'm robber. I want us to return to God's original mandate. The depressed amongst us, let us take care of them. Then those who are poor by circumstance. Those who are poor by circumstance. Let's come to the place where we are aware. Everybody, remove your eye from up and put your eye down. You know, someone was telling me, say, for this Buhari economy, nobody they look after anybody. Who told you that? Where did it come from? Before dollar became 250 or 400 or 300, you were not converting anything. You were not. It is very few. This they say dollar. Even someone that is selling crayfish behind my father's house, he said dollar. Are they using dollar to do crayfish? He said, oi, the fisherman that is using net to go and fish, the dollar also enter inside the river to change it. We must come back to God's original mandate. Is anybody depressed around you? Is your wife depressed? And you are not aware? Your husband has lost his manhood because of the way you are treating him, and you are not aware? You know, I said to someone, if everybody is calling you chairman, they don't call you chairman at home. You are not chairman. You are stoolman. You are stoolman. Charity begins at home. Your children are not happy at home. If you can't listen, whether you're a man or woman, charity begins at home. Let's look after one another. Let's evangelize to one another. Evangelize to your wife. Evangelize to your husband. Let's begin from there. That's where life starts. And then he says, I need to drop because of, he said, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Another translation says to bind up. The word bind up is the word to turban the brokenhearted. And I'm going to explain the word brokenhearted and I'm going to lead us to pray. To turban. To wrap up some of it. To bandage the brokenhearted. Now I'm going to go to the word brokenhearted. The word brokenhearted is actually speaking about what's happening in your soul. In the area, your soul has 12 entrances. If someone wants to violate your soul, he has 12 gateways. Your attitude is a gateway to your soul. What is it that happened that broke your attitude? That your attitude have adjusted to a very positive attitude and have become a very negative attitude. We need to check it. Some people, that's why we're here. To be trained to do that. You know, yesterday or 2 days ago, another woman made an attempt to jump into the lagoon. On the second day of the week, which you call Monday, a student of a university, a pastor child, committed suicide. And yesterday, an Ifa priest said that it must be demons that is helping the people to commit suicide. And so what he's saying to say is that I have an answer to the problem. Question is, where are the students that Jesus left in his university? Of course, it's not a conventional message, but I have something to tell you. How come your husband's attitude changed and you didn't bother to find out what happened? How come your wife's attitude changed and it doesn't concern you? Is there something wrong with your brother? He never comes with us anymore. We would love to share it with you. What is the matter lately, sister? You never say hello. Now, let me ask, how come you're a very good boyfriend and a very bad husband? How come you're a very good choir master or choir mistress, very good usher, very good friend to your friends, very good. Your friends say you are dependable. Your friends say they can trust you. Your friends say you're a very good man. But very bad wife. It's an attitude problem. And some people here, God has anointed you to solve that problem. Your attitude is one of the gates to your soul. Another gate to your soul is relational skill. How come you're very wealthy but very poor when it has to do with relationship? How come your children are afraid of you, the children you gave birth to? How come your workers are afraid of you, your secretary is afraid of you? Poor relational skills. And listen to me, one of the things, one of the ways we're going to evangelize the world is our ability to relate. You know, majority of us do not think that relating with others is a way of creating wealth until you ask Joseph. It was Joseph's relationship with the porter and everybody he met in prison that took him out of prison. If you like, ask Nehemiah. Nehemiah will tell you it was his relationship with the king that gave him the resources for him to build a temple. I want you to, next time when your wife lies beside you, ask your wife, do you think I'm a good husband? And then don't beat her for saying the truth. You know, there is a way people will lie to you, because they know that if they tell you the truth, you'll be very angry. Why do you ask me about the truth when you know you're not ready to receive the truth? You're asking me, tell me the truth, do I treat you well? And then I will look at you. I'm not sure whether that question you really want an answer. Because if I tell you the answer, there's going to be war in this house. So I better lie to you because you love lies. Yes, you treat me well. But let me ask you a question. How come someone beside you who calls himself your friend is dying inside because of your behavior and it doesn't concern you? How do we evangelize the world when we haven't evangelized to ourselves? Because your testimony as a Christian is how you treat yourselves, first of all. The Bible said they took note of them that they have been with Jesus. He said the way they related with them, listen to me, our first testimony that we are Christians is how we relate among ourselves. Because if we're going to go two by two, and me and you, they keep malice. And they say, Pastor Charlie, we're sending you and Pastor John for evangelism at Iwawe, and two of you don't talk. How do we pray together if we don't even talk? How could we be lovers if I've never been friends? How? If we gather together and say, let us pray. Say, we're going to pray and bring the kingdom of God down to earth. Where do we start? Because they say, hold hands. By the time I stretch my hands, the person I want to hold, I beg. Please, sir. The other day, when you come buy something from me, you no pay. You toast my husband. How do we do that? We really can't take over the world if we are not strong people in our soul. So there are people here. How do we go about it when you can't say no? There are many of us who just can't say no. You know why? When they say no, they are afraid of being rejected. So even if it will violate your conscience, I'd rather not say no. How do we relate when I can't steward my emotions? I'm talking about the gates of your soul. So you can see that if your heart is broken, we need people who will come and bind up the brokenhearted. I can't save the world if we have not been able to save ourselves. To bind up the brokenhearted. Who are the people here that God will send and say, go help me bind the brokenhearted? Jesus can't jump down, but he's going to use someone. And that's why in this place, they encourage us to bind ourselves in life groups. Bind yourselves in groups. Before I came out, I told my team members, be praying for me. I'm going to the battle. Majority of us go to the battle every day. Who are the people who are holding you in prayer? It may interest you to know that every gate of your soul is an altar. Your attitude is an altar. Your emotions is an altar. What is an altar? It is a place of entry and exit. It may also interest you that at every junction there is an altar. It may interest you that the people who put Uzobo, the people who put those things at the junction, they have things in mind. What do they have in mind? It is called programming. When someone wants to program something in a street, he can put it in a cup or a plate and say words and drop it at that junction. It may interest you. It may also interest you that when I began to see suicide in our country, when I saw a 16-year-old boy close to me commit suicide, I told myself, my dear, this thing that is coming is a spirit, and we need to bring it down. I want you to count in the last 2 years how many people you heard have committed suicide. Before this time, we'll stand on the altar and say, if you are being suicidal, come for prayer. Now, it has gone beyond come for prayer. People are now playing it out. What has happened? Where are the believers? Well, why did I dive into this place? All these things are programmed. And all of them are programmed from altars. Each time you pass a place of worship, whether it's a place of worship for Christians, a place of worship for non-Christians, is an altar. And altars are used to program people to do things. If it is devilish things, they are programmed to use people to do what the devil wants to be done on earth. Or they also be programmed to get people to do the things God wants to do here. I leave you with this. Which altar is programming you? And which altar are you servicing? That's why I read the scriptures. For you to see, these are one of the ways, some of the ways that you can service the altars that are around you. One, proclaiming the message, calling for destinies. If you have ever visited a native doctor, he has a way of working. When you give him the thing and you want him to kill, he doesn't kill by himself. He puts a knife in your hand for you to kill. Or he gives you the chalk. He doesn't do it by himself. You are the one. He will tell you what to say, then he will say it to you. But have you noticed that shrine is majorly controlled by your words? So the doctor, the native doctor comes, you tell him what to do. He takes his enchantment. If you come to church, what do? Everybody begin to pray. Is it not the same thing? The difference is the power behind it. The native doctor will chant and 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 throw oracle. For us, we'll chant and chant and chant and chant and chant and throw anointing oil. Everything, we all win by prayer. And prayer without servicing the things does not work. Because I'm going to lead you to pray. Let me tell you something. Don't say the suicide doesn't concern you. A little boy of 7, the parents annoyed him. And I happened to have been in that house that day. The boy went, took a knife. He said, I want to go and kill myself. I want to go and kill myself. And when I say, kill now, kill now. I say, oh, okay. You are being used to program your son. We need to uproot this thing. Because if it is full blown, no be kill now, you go day day. I want to call everybody to the consciousness. Some things are changing in our society, and I want us to be aware of it. We need to stand up and begin to break the altars that have been raised in our nation. There are some things I can't say because of security reasons. But there was a country that they were going to bring in a president, and that president was not popular. They hired some native doctors. Their job was to go from one state to another and cast spell. Ladies and gentlemen, your thinking is actually controlled. There are some chemicals that can be released in the atmosphere. It will control how you think. They hired some. They will go from one native doctor to another, and what will they do? They will release spells that will cause people to favor the one that nobody favored. And that president won. My friend has a church in Switzerland, and he told me, I quote, he said, there is a time in the year that witches will take a helicopter, go to the top, and begin to cast spell upon the city. So it's not church. It's not something you leave for pastors. It's not something you say is pastor. No. If someone releases a spell on a door state, the part is that anywhere there is an open door, it will enter. have been in a place where they told me to take a girl for deliverance. I carry the girl, they go. Halfway through, someone, a bike passed and splashed the water on her. It splashed on me too, but I passed. She stopped and raised her before me, raised her head. I didn't know what she was doing. That was a young Christian. By the time her head came down, the bike man went up and landed on the ordinary ground. And she said, "You deserve it." I said, "What do you do so?" He said, "Wives pour water on me." Go there, close eye. This life, oh, de minimis. I don't know whether to beat him or to curse him or to push him. I just said, they say I should bring you to church. For them. Follow me, let us. And they'll look at anybody until we get. Okay, I was afraid myself. Oh, let her not mistakenly raise up like this and come down. Then I was just a Christian. I didn't know anything. I didn't have power. Even if she did it to me, I wouldn't know how to counteract it. I wouldn't know whether it's the name of Jesus or Holy Mary that I will call for that not to happen to me. I carried her successfully. I said, "We are running now." When we got to CKC, I said, "Brother Chinwe, this girl is a very dangerous girl. He's a very dangerous girl." He said, "What did you do?" I told her. Brother Peter said, "Why didn't you counteract it?" I said, "How?" He said, "You would have used the blood." I was telling myself, where I was pleading blood of Jesus on myself, first of all, for her not to do the same thing to me. He said, "I should counteract it somehow, like her." Friends, supposing there are such people around your neighborhood, do you know what to do? That's what I mean, that all of us need to be teachers. Do you know, for marriages to fail, there are enchantments that are released in the air. Even businesses to fail, there are altars that are... I'm a deliverance minister. This one that your husband, you're telling, "Hey, where be?" Sometimes you know what they do. Some things are programmed from somewhere. Now, because all of them are not Americanized, and they're saying it, you think there's no truth. Some things are programmed somewhere. You come to some places, you see abandoned projects, the people, the project, the money they use to do the project, all of it, the money has disappeared. You enter a project, say, "I'm starting a project, I'm starting a political campaign." By that time, everybody who is supposed to be with you, all of them, the money you have finished, the people who supported you, you won't see them again. I want to lead you to pray. By the grace of God, I've been doing this work since 1986. I have seen plenty. We were in church. My master was preaching. After some time, the message gone, they go anyhow. He no preach for 30 minutes, they crack jokes. Pastor, 45 minutes, I feel that they crack jokes. Ha! And it was a very serious program, like cure. Pastor, 45 minutes, what is a crack joke? Ha! I said, "This one don't turn to franchise unloaded." Huh? Prayer when we come. See, he told us, "I want to lead all of you." He didn't lead us again. The next day, he came and said, that person message came waka. I was small. I couldn't contribute anything. The next day, we came again. He preached. You go come out for waiting to talk. You go crack joke. 45 minutes, 1 hour. He go say, "Let us pray." The program finished. We were at intercessory prayer when one woman brought her daughter, big girl, that pleased that she wants us to pray for this, her daughter. Let's just pray for her. Small girl, I want to tell you, they looked at them. The girl looked at all of us. I said, "Is this the people that pray for me? Is this the people that pray for me?" They said, "Will you sit down?" He said, "Sit down." He said, "It's me that will tell you to sit down." They said, he said, "You, when you were praying, for 45 minutes, we were cracking jokes. We're the one that distracted you." He said, "Happened for the..." He said, "We're there." So it's not only, there are 17 of us there that day who distracted you. We didn't want her to say anything further. I just want us to pray. You know what? Do you want us? One of that brother, Raphael, said, "Keep quiet in Jesus." He said, "She want me to say, oh." He exposed and they're straight. He said, "Tell the house what you have been doing with Sister Eunice." And that is our head of intercession.
But Peter said, everybody stand up, let us pray. Now listen, this world is mysterious. It's not as straight as we are looking at it. All I want to do this afternoon is just lead everybody. Every altar that has been programmed, spoken to work against my God-ordained destiny. I didn't come to Benin by plan. I came to be because I was running from death. Everybody in my father's house had died. It was my turn to die. I was running to protect myself where I found myself here. I pray that even your mistake will line up with your destiny. Amen. The things that are happening in your life today that is causing you to cry, may all of them gather together to work out your destiny. Every negative programming that have caused you to fall apart, I decree that those same things will work out for your good. I prophesy over you today. Every delay in your life, I command them to come together to bring you good. I prophesy over you today. Whatever was medically certified, today we declare it is canceled in the name of Jesus. I prophesy over you today. Every programming that is not consistent with what God has said in your life, we command them to collapse in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.